Oh, wonderful. I'm going to start out by just saying that I don't want to stop the presence of God. We had amazing worship this morning. And I want to encourage you this morning when you hear the word, that you take the word that I'm going to bring to you this morning, but make it your own. This morning, each song that we sang was absolutely speaking into our spirit being, into our spirit, into our own hearts. And we ended off on Let It Rain. And that's going to be my starting point this morning. I'm asking God the Father that his heart would rain down on you this morning. So this morning is not just corporate, it's individual. So it's for each one of us. For each one of us, it is absolutely God's got an appointment with you this morning. With Jacques this morning. And so we can go right through the whole auditorium and at the end of the day, God's standing still in front of you this morning. Collectively, as a congregation, but also individually. So let's start out, and if you can just put up the first slide. Everyone is thirsty. And it looks like a little bit of a water fountain of some sorts. Just to give you an idea, that is around about the second day in the Fish River Canyon, and that is a natural spring. At the moment, that natural spring is one of the 1 points of water that you've got in the Fish River Canyon at the moment. If you don't know where that specific water point is, you will walk past it and you will be thirsty. And the reason I put that up is because if you miss that water point, you're in quite a little bit of a predicament. You find yourself in a situation where you are thirsty for natural water to replenish your body, to put it into your body. But then if you miss that water, you won't get to that. But the odd thing about that spring is it doesn't look like something and it doesn't look like much, but that's more than enough water for each one of us here. That is a spring, 24/7, 365 days a year. It flows with water. So each one of us, if we would have stood at that spring, would have been able to fill up. We would have been able to get water. So this morning, my sermon is around, are we thirsty? And how thirsty are you? And for what are you thirsty? Because I'm thirsty. I've got a need. You've got a need. But are we looking to satisfy that need with natural water? Or are we going to God? Or are we going to Jesus? So that was the first one. So I want to go to the following declaration. Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is here. And that's a declaration I'm making this morning to say, but God the Father is here. So it's not about Jacques. It's not about Werner. It's not about the bridge this morning. It's about you standing in front of God the Father. And God the Father is saying, I am here. I'm just going to let that sink in because sometimes we tend to fall into the trap that we are asking a lot of questions and we are looking for answers and we are pondering and we are driving in our own nature. We are driving to get those answers. And the best place to be is to sit back and stay quiet and understand that God is here. We must just zip it. It sounds odd if I put it that way. So that is my starting point this morning to say that God is here. And if you can just close your eyes for a moment, Father, I want to ask you, you're so welcome. Holy Spirit, you're so welcome just to dwell amongst us. You're so welcome to stand in front of us and Holy Spirit, I want to ask you that you come in this morning and that you would speak to our spiritual beings, and also not just speak to that. And Jesus, I'm inviting you in this morning as well, that you would dwell amongst us and that you would come and be the living water that we need this morning. Thank you, God. I want to speak about the woman at the well, but I'm going to start out of a different perspective. This particular sermon has been done probably 1,000 times plus out of various perspectives and various ways, but I'm going to turn it around and I'm starting at the main part of the scripture. So if you go and read John 4, I'm not going to go through the whole John 4, but I'm just going to take out some verses that is very, very important. And then we're going to summarize it at the end. But if I go and take John 4, 21 to 24, it says, the woman said, the woman made a response, and then Jesus replied and said, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. If you look at the verses in front of that, she said to Jesus, but we worship in our area in Samaria. But the worship that they had in that specific area is very pagan orientated. So they worshipped a lot of things, and they also worshipped in different settings. But Jesus comes here and says to the lady, but neither you're not going to worship there, or you're not even going to worship in Jerusalem, but you will worship where? And that is very important. And you Samaritans worship what you do not know. Very interesting statement Jesus makes there. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But then in 23 he says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in the truth. I'm just going back to the part where it says, has now come. And I want to bring it into today's time. Wherever you walk and wherever you interact is today, is now, is your opportunity to also be a true worshiper. So I'm asking, if God proclaims there and says, if you worship me in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God the Father seeks worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. But not just in a building, but not just in a setting where it's formalized. The moment that we're in relationship with God, God gives you and I the ability to worship, but not just worship, to be his hands and feet, to go out and minister, to go and out and be true worshipers of the word of God. It's part of what God tells us and gives us the opportunity to go out. And then God says in verse 24, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. How are we worshiping God? Kaylin at the end said, Rob said, but bring your depression to God. Bring everything that's weighing on your shoulders to God. And I want to take verse 24 and I want to ask you this morning, if your fleshly body is under pressure and if your mind is under pressure this morning, look at verse 24 where God says, I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth. Because the moment we quicken our spirit and the Holy Spirit comes and stirs within us, automatically we can be fruitful. He can come and heal us. He can come and meet us at the point where you need him to meet you. So now I'm going to go back and I'm just going to declare the following. And this is so profound. Jesus, in verse 26, he says, then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. The interesting part, if you go right through, and I'm going to do a little bit of, let's call it word aerobics, and I'm just going to take you through a few verses, but in this particular part, even at this point, after everything that happened with the lady at the well, she still didn't see with the spiritual eyes. She was still oblivious to who was standing in front of her. And then Jesus came and he said, it's me, it's Jesus. I'm standing in front of you. And she couldn't recognize Jesus. Are you able to recognize him this morning? Let's just go through a few verses and I'm going to start in the beginning, and I'm just giving you a background because this is so, so profound in the context of this message. Between verse 1 and 6, Jesus gives us the background and the setting. And you can see in that particular portion that Jesus went from Judea to Galilee. But if you go to verse 4, Jesus went through Samaria. Very interesting. He went through Samaria for a specific reason. In those days, the Jews, they didn't mingle with the Samaritans. They didn't like the Samaritans. So they made a clear decision either to go around, but not through. But Jesus made the conscious decision to go through. To go in. Jesus had an appointment with the woman at the well. He made a conscious decision to wait for her. If you look at verse 7, a Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus was waiting for her. He sent away the disciples and he personally was waiting for her. Jesus personally waiting for you this morning. He didn't go around. He didn't say, Jacques, your troubles are too much. He said, my son, my daughter, I'm coming to you. I'm making the appointment with you. And then if we go further, Jesus said, will you give me a drink? Interesting. We know all the story, and the woman replied and asked, how can you ask me to give you a drink? And Jesus replied, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. At that point, I would have, it's just me. I would have possibly recognized who's sitting in front of me, who's speaking to me. And still she did not 100% understand the context of what Jesus was telling her and what Jesus was saying to her. And then the woman, she said, okay, I will give you water. And if you go further, then in verse 13, Jesus replied, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty. I'm going to my first slide. First slide was that little bit of a fountain that we had in the Fish River Canyon. If we naturally thirst, it's something that reoccurs because our body needs that. But Jesus says, you will constantly need water. But I am here, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Verse 14. So this morning, if you've got a need and if you've got a urgency in your spirit to get replenished, to get God the Father to stand still and Jesus to come and minister to your innermost being and to come and meet you at the point where you need him to come and fulfill your needs, I want to ask him to be the living water for me this morning. It sounds simplistic, and it is. It's so easy. Because he has an appointment with you already. The appointment is already set. It's not an appointment with somebody else. It's an appointment with each individual sitting here this morning. He's asking you, just come to me. I will give you living water, and it will stream out of your innermost being. And then, verse 16 and 17, he told her, go and call your husband. This is a profound part for me. Go and call your husband, and we know what happened. Just in summary, and she said, yeah, she answered and said, no, but I haven't got a husband. And Jesus said, yeah, I know you had five husbands. The interesting part about that, there's no part in that where Jesus is giving her he's not offending her. He's not coming to her and putting her under a rod and giving her hiding about her sins. It's not unfamiliar to Jesus. Jesus knows this is what she has done. But Jesus says, doesn't faze me. Doesn't worry me. I'm here. So this morning, Jesus is also acknowledging, and he's already saying, there's nothing that you have done or could have done or have done in the past or in the future that is unfamiliar to me. To me, Jesus, it has already been dealt with on the cross. He dealt with it on the cross. And we, from time to time, not from time to time, we generally tend to go fall back onto the past, into our sinful nature. Apart from reoccurring and doing our sin continuously, God says and Jesus says, but I'm aware of it. You know what? I know about it. But it doesn't faze me. I dealt with it. I want to give you the living water. I want to give you a new life. I want to give you a life in abundance. Are you willing to come to me? And as I said, the last statement, what about your past and your sin? And this is not me trying to say, but guys, I'm putting you... It's not condemnation in any sort, way or form from my side. But I'm asking you because Jesus is asking us this morning, are you keeping your own package for yourself? Are you holding on to that? Do you believe, as Rob said, but I'm depressed, but my depression is bigger than Jesus? And I'm telling you this morning, it isn't. In Jesus' eyes, it's so small because he already dealt with it. But he's asking you personally this morning, are you willing to bring your past, your present, and whatever is hindering you to have a fulfilled life with Jesus, a relationship, a true relationship? He's asking you, are you willing to bring that to the table? I've got 1 minute left. I'm ending off with the following invitation. And I'm asking you this morning, why would God put this story in the Bible? If we look at all the stories, I want to take you to John 20 verse 30 to 31. And that's a summary of what's said in those verses. It says that Jesus did so many miracles that it couldn't be written up in the Bible. But Jesus took time out to put this story into the Bible so that we can sit here this morning and realize there's no difference between the woman and you and I. Jesus says, but yes, give me something to drink. I will take that, but I'm going to get thirsty again. But understand, when I give you life, I give it in abundance. So that's the first question I'm asking. And the next one is, Jesus went out of his normal way, knowing that he had to set up this appointment with the woman at the well. So this morning, Jesus is coming to to you and I and saying, but you're at the breach this morning. You are sitting here. Well, are they? 3, 4. Jesus is coming to you and I this morning and he's saying, I'm setting up an appointment with you this morning. But as in relationship, there is interaction. Jesus makes the statement in Revelation. He says, I'm standing at your heart's door and I'm knocking. He's not bursting in. He's not, excuse the example, he's not a bull in a china shop running in. He's standing at your heart's door and he's knocking. So this morning he's standing at not just your heart's door, but he's standing in front of you. As I'm watching and looking at you guys and looking into Werner's eyes, Jesus is looking into Werner's eyes this morning, into your eyes this morning and asking you, I've got an appointment with you this morning. And then, as with the woman, her sins and her past did not put Jesus off to reach out to give her the living water. So this morning, if you are feeling that it's too much, it's too big, it's too large, you're feeling too ashamed, there's no shame in Jesus. Once again, Jesus dealt with it. The one thing that is so profound for me, when Jesus went up to heaven, he made a declaration and said, I'm sitting now in the right hand of the Father, from where I will intercede for you. So the moment that we sit in this situation where you are sitting this morning and maybe you are here this morning and saying, Jacques, but it's too much. I've got too much on my plate. I can't go to Jesus. I want to remind you to that scene, that specific scene where Jesus says, each time the devil brings a new piece of paper to accuse you, a new assault on your life, and he brings that to the table, each time he brings that to the table, Jesus stands up and stands in front of God the Father and says, but I dealt with it. It's done. So this morning, if you are sitting here and saying, but Jacques, it can't be. I'm telling you, it's done. It's dealt with. There's one thing that's very important this morning. We need to react. Because Jesus is standing there and Jesus is saying, I want to give you the living water. I want to supply you with not just the living water. I want a relationship with you. I want to know you intimately. And he already does. Because he wove us together in our mother's womb. There's nobody in this auditorium, not even my wife, that knows me so intimately like Jesus and like God knows me. Excuse my life. But sometimes she sits next to me and we don't say a word. And when we start to speak, she knows what's going on here. How much more does God know your heart? How much more does he know your needs this morning? So I want to ask you, she had a choice. So do you. What are you going to choose? And my last slide is an invitation. And I'm done. But if I'm saying I'm done, I'm just going to summarize the following. And I'm not going to any other company book. So on a project die. I'm not going to do that one. I started out by saying, God is here. Yeshua Shama. God is here. Now I want to ask you to close your eyes and this is part of this invitation. You can see it's a formal invitation. And you can put your name in there. I'm going to put my name in there, Jacques, and I'll let it rain, my friend, please. Thank you. And first things first, recognize the need that you and I have for Jesus to come into our lives. You may be a born-again Christian with a relationship for many years with God. And that's good. But even in that, God says, sometimes I need to just polish some corners. I need to deal with something in your life. So this morning, if there is something in your life that needs to be dealt with, don't let it pass. Don't let this opportunity this morning, this invitation, don't let it pass you this morning. The second part of this invitation is that we acknowledge that we've got sin in our lives. That we acknowledge that. That we come to God the Father and say, Father, please forgive me, for I have sinned. And then God would come and say, my child, my daughter, my son, I want to remind you, the moment that you bring your sin to me, I will take away your sin as far as the east is from the west. I declare from now on, if you bring your sin to the table, it's wiped clean. You will be white as snow. So therefore, no remembrance of that is in God's mind about your sin. Remember that part. So if the devil tries to remind you, get your educated idiot box out of the way, and that's your brain. Because a lot of the times we go back to our sin. We remind ourselves of our sin where Jesus said it's dealt with, it's done. It's not there anymore. And then the last point. I want to ask you to accept Jesus Christ, that he would give you the living water that you are, that you're so in need of this morning. Father, I want to come and say thank you for your word. I want to come and say thank you, Father, that your word is true. And that you are the Alpha, the Omega, that you are the beginning and the end. That there's no turning around in you, that your word is yes and amen. So therefore this morning, thank you, Father, that we can come to you, that we can declare that we are in need of your living water. I want to ask you, Father, that you would come, and that you would come and fill us with joy, and not just with joy, but with living water that will never run dry.
Through Jock, I pray, Lord, that you bless it, that you come and make it clear. grand and clear. But I pray, Lord, that you stir up in us, Lord, this well.